We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I was like at a nightclub with some of my friends for one of my friends' birthdays. And this guy, like, this was just my MO. I would just be like, hey, do you want to make out with me?
Pre-COVID.
They always said yes, yeah. So I was like, hey, do you want to make out? And he was like, yeah. And I like made out with this guy, but he was like, me and my friends did PCP before we went to the club. Yeah. And then I was like, what is PCP? And then later on, I looked up PCP and just like read like fucking horror stories about PCP.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was like, I'm lucky this man didn't try and fucking murder me.
Welcome to the Holy Hour. I'm Amelia Sampson.
And I'm Liz Ball.
I said my name well that week.
Yeah.
That week.
This week.
I'm going to warn everybody listening, I'm having a hard time with words today. I'm going to be tripping
we
over
all
my
have
words
days.
A lot. Oh, welcome
I
to Mass.
I feel like I'm
I forgot
like,
to say welcome to Mass.
Ugh. Yeah, welcome to Mass.
I'm really not doing well today.
I feel like, yeah, maybe like your thoughts are kind of like strung out, and then I've kind of been feeling like that earlier this week. I feel like I'm just like, I have like a lazy tongue today. I'm
yeah.
Like,
I feel like my thoughts are ahead of my words right now. It's cause like every time I'm saying something, I'm already on to the next thought. So I'm like, that's Adderall. Let's get the job done. How much can we talk about right now? Okay. I have a question for you. Yeah. Well, it's okay. So it's not really like anything new. I feel like we've kind of touched on it, but I've never like asked you direct. Like, what is your biggest pet peeve when after you have sex with a guy?
Oh, that like, is a really good question.
What's the one thing that they do that would like that really pisses you off?
Like if I didn't orgasm and then they just like lay there, that's fine. You can totally like be a husk of a person and not be thinking, but like fuck, like cuddle me or something, like
right.
Like play with my hair,
yeah,
or whatever. Like can we have like a little like regroup to so I know that you oh you know what
this, I'm valued.
Yeah. Okay, so this brings this makes me think about so I sent Amelia this TikTok of this woman explaining like masculine sex is like goal oriented sex and the goal is to orgasm, and then feminine oriented sex is the goal is a connection. But I mean, I like strongly disagree with that. I don't think that we should categorize it by
gender.
Yeah,
definitely.
But that like is kind of like what Amelia and I had been talking about. Was it last week?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, of just like goal oriented sex versus which would be like fucking versus like having sex for the connection.
Yeah.
So
I love that way of categorizing it.
Yeah. So I guess I really hate when it's goal-oriented sex and there's no like I think you know everybody wants to climax, but if like we're not if we're having sex and it's not because like we have a connection, like I need again aftercare.
Right.
So I Absolutely. Think like yeah the biggest pet peeve is just like, well, he came so we're done now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like fuck, I guess I'll masturbate when you fall asleep.
Yes. Right. Or I'm going to the bathroom. I'm taking a shit. That's what I'm doing in here. Don't worry about it. Actually, just trying to make myself come.
So I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
Unless you have an electric toothbrush.
Yeah. Could you put me in the direction of the nearest electric toothbrush? Yeah, no, I agree. That's definitely my number one pet peeve. Like, especially if it's somebody that I haven't had sex with often. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it's, I don't want to feel like, I've said this a lot, but like, I don't want to feel like disposable after.
Yeah, absolutely.
No matter what. Even if I'm just there to hook up. Like, I don't know. Like, pretend to care.
Yes. It's such an intimate thing to be doing. And then, like, to not feel valued afterwards, to, like you said, like, just be a vessel.
Yeah, right. Like, you, like, I am just an object of your goal-oriented sex. Mm-hmm. And I was not, I didn't sign up for that. Mm-hmm. I'm not having sex for you. I want to obviously make them feel good.
Yeah.
Duh. Like, I want it to be enjoyable for both of us, but, like, your orgasm is not the only important thing to me here.
Yeah. I definitely think, like...
But, yeah, no, it's, that's 100% my pet peeve. It's just, like...
When they're just like, I came... Congratulate me.
That was like dishwasher. That was like my sex with dishwasher. It was like, ugh. He like got up, cleaned himself off, and was like, oh, I'm so tired now. That was like sad dry hand job too. He was, yeah. Like,
now that I've come,
he's like, this is awkward because you seem really awake and I'm tired, so I'm gonna go home. I'm like, I'm awake because I have not
had. I'm frisky.
Yeah, like I'm, my adrenaline's going because you didn't touch me once.
Oh my god.
So yeah, no, that's definitely it. But like, I don't know, it's really interesting to talk, because I've talked to a few people who have never orgasmed from sex, a few women, and their idea of what makes successful sex varies from person to person, because even they will be like, oh, I feel like it wasn't successful if I didn't come, but it's like, then that, they always have that on them.
I honestly really enjoy having like a little like
debrief.
Yeah, exactly, a postmortem. Mm-hmm. of sex.
Yeah,
I honestly really do like talking about it after, of like, oh, what was your like favorite part of like this session?
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know why I like it. I also like hearing, I think it's like, I know what my experience was like. So I want to hear, like, I want to experience it through their eyes as well.
Yeah.
So I like hearing about it, like, and I also like sharing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I thought it was really hot when you did this.
Yeah. And that's then, interesting. I've never done that with sex. I do that with, like, reminiscing on, like, our first date. Like, I love doing that kind of shit.
I love that, too.
Because it's just, like, I, from, like, a human experience standpoint, I want to understand, like, how I come off. Mm-hmm. So I'm just, like, I'm, like, studying up for, like, future me. But I just love doing that kind of reminiscing. I've never done it with sex.
It's, I honestly really enjoy it. Just, like, telling my partner, like, descriptively, like, what I enjoyed about having sex with them, and then like, you know, I want to hear the same kind of like experience, or like, yeah, just hear what they had to say about the experience.
I should try that.
And I mean, who doesn't like, obviously I love sharing, but like, who doesn't like hearing about,
oh, I want compliments no matter what. I, it's
exactly
like, how like Tinkerbell stays alive with applause and I stay alive with compliments. That's all I need. I've talked to a lot of people about this, but I was thinking earlier today about how, like, I have in my mind that, like, sex feels like the best thing in the entire world to guys, and I know that it does. Like, they obviously, like, met people with penises love how sex feels, but then whenever I asked the question that I asked you a while back about, like, what would you do if you were a guy for a day? And I've asked men that. Men's answers are always, like, I just want to know what sex feels like for women, because, like, it seems like the best thing in the world. Like, you guys, like, seem like you just love it so much. And I'm like, we, like, what is your, there's no, does it feel better for us than it does? Because I know that clits are, like, there's, like, so much,
yeah,
so many
nerve endings.
But, like, I don't think, like, it's not like it's like an astronomically better experience for people with vaginas, I don't think. But now I'm thinking, no. I'm like, what, well, now I want to know what it feels like to have sex with a dick, because like, what, like,
think
I
about,
was always under the assumption,
well, if we go back to like a few episodes ago, like, the orgasm gap is insane. Like, that's just accepted that women like don't come
Right. So then where is this idea coming from that it's like feels like
better
than it does for people with penises?
I don't know.
I don't understand. But anyway, I just thought that was interesting because I've heard this a few times now. Like, I just want to know because, like, you guys seem to, like, it feels like, it looks like it feels insane. And it's like, it feels good.
If they're going down on you, they don't have to, like, put an entire thing in their mouth to the back of their throat.
Do you deep throat?
Mm-hmm.
Queen shit. I can't. My gag reflex is too strong.
Oh, I definitely gag.
But I gag, like, when I'm brushing my teeth. My gag reflex is ridiculous. I give really good head. Like, I feel very, comfortable with
confident in your head game.
Yeah, my head game is prestigious. Mm-hmm. But I can't deep throat. Like, I the thought of it is making me want to gag. Well, I can't do it.
I want to gag. I want to choke.
It's my life anthem. I love her so much.
I also like when they say macaroni in the pot.
Oh, my God. Okay, so the first time I heard that song, I watched the music video, and they censor it in the music video, so I didn't know it was wet-ass pussy. They were saying wet and gushy.
Oh,
yeah. What? And so that line with the macaroni in the pot comes, and I'm like, that is the grossest way to describe macaroni.
Absolutely.
Wet and gushy.
Like, but the macaroni in the pot thing, I was thinking about that guy. It's that famous Vine where, like, his mom is stirring the macaroni, and then he's like, that's what good pussy sounds like.
Yes.
And, like, that iconic moment, making a reference, like, in a song. Yeah. I know it's, like, kind of maybe, like, this universal understanding, but I feel like that Vine is, like, something that helped make it, like, more widely, like, thought of and understood. And
she's going to get sued, like, by that guy.
I wonder if he's, like... It was me.
I'm the macaroni in the pot for the wet and gushy.
That's that was me.
You might recognize me from WAP.
That's what good pussy sounds like.
Is it WAP or is it WAP? WAP. It's WAP.
I say WAP. WAP.
WAP. I just feel so, like, Midwestern white.
Well, because there's already that song called the WAP.
That's true. But then I'm thinking, because she says
WAP.
Oh, yeah.
WAP, 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 WAP.
That's also a bop.
That WAP is a bop. Bop that WAP.
Bop, bop, bop. Bop that WAP. I like it.
Have you, speaking of bopping WAPs.
Oh, God, I have no idea what you're about to ask me.
Have you ever had a guy, like, spank your vagina?
Nope. On purpose?
Yeah.
Does it feel good?
Yes.
No.
I didn't think I would like it until it happened to me.
Like a light tap. No. Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
No. No. But there is a certain part of, like, my ass that is spanked that, like, sends a ripple effect up to the badge. And, like, that's great. I've never had anybody just, like, full, like, my vagina. Ow.
I feel like it's a little more. It's not as hard.
It's kind of like an upward motion.
It depends on...
your angle.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because it has to be if I'm, like, on my stomach.
I know, but, like, I don't even, like... Oh, I guess, you know what? Actually, now that you're saying that, like, I've seen that in porn a few times, now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, because I... So when I would see it in porn, I was like, that does not seem like a good time.
Yeah.
And then it happened to me. And then I was like... This is a very good time. This is the best time I've ever had.
Yeah, this is the best time.
It's to me, it's really interesting. Like I don't know. When I'm watching porn, I'm just like, I don't think I'd like that. But then, like, it's happened to me so many times where I've, like, watched something. I'm like, oh, I'm not into this. And then, like, if it happens, I'm like, holy shit, I really like this. So. I don't know. It's kind of like how I feel about, like, podcasts. Like, I don't listen to podcasts that are, like, ours.
Yeah. Me neither.
Yeah. And I don't know. Like, I don't watch porn that is, like, the sex I have.
Right. That makes sense.
It's so weird.
I hadn't thought about that before.
I've noticed. So, like, I'll search, like, Snapchat porn because the idea of, like, voyeurism is really hot to me for some reason.
Yeah.
Or, like... It was so like, the sex was so good, like, you started recording it and you wanted to, like, share it with people or something like that. Like,
that's so true. I love, like, cell phone footage.
Yes.
Hey, yeah, we'll get to that point soon.
Can you?
He's like, but bring what up is the one it? Thing.
She fell in the well? Show us.
Oh, he just wants love.
I give him so much attention.
That's why he wants, like, more. He's like, listen, you give this to me all the time, and I want it at this moment.
Yeah, my boyfriend was like, I think that you should, like, stop acknowledging him when he...
Teach him. He's like, this isn't like, working. But then he's going to start acting out in worse ways to get attention.
He goes through phases. Right now, he's just in, like, a whiny phase. So one of my friends DM'd me, and she asked if we could talk about therapy on the podcast. And I think that's a great idea because both Amelia and I, like, are in therapy and have had... therapy. Yeah, we're big advocates for it and for mental health. And, yeah, I think it's worth talking about because I think we probably have a lot of listeners who are also in therapy or are interested in exploring going to therapy. Mm-hmm. And, everyone has a different kind of experience.
Yeah.
So what my friend DM'd me was, cause I was like, what specifically, like, would you want to hear about? And she said, like, how you prepare for sessions. Cause like, she tries to prepare and fails and, like, if there's a method and then, like, how often we go and how we found the best therapist for us.
It makes you feel like you can, like, do fucking anything. When you can, like, get your mental health under control or, you know, that's, like, such a spectrum. But, like, when you can kind of get your, finger on what's going on a little bit, it is the most empowering feeling. It's, like, intoxicating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are afraid to go to therapy. And it's because it's scary to, like, confront these feelings that you know are inevitably there, that you're like, you're going to have to deal with them.
Yeah, and when you develop coping mechanisms around it that aren't necessarily healthy, it's like, well, I've had it under control for this long, so, like, why the fuck do I need to go to therapy?
Yeah, and now you got no. And then you have to, like, break down your coping mechanisms, especially if they're unhealthy, and it's just, it is a lot of work. But like you said, like, it is really gratifying.
So gratifying.
I would say the first 9 months I was in therapy, it was constantly work. Like, it was really nice when I had, like, those revelations. I loved those. I loved the really hard appointments that we had.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the hardest ones are the ones you don't expect to become really hard.
Mm-hmm.
I would just be so drained. I would need to take the rest of the day to myself because I, like, had so many feelings I needed to sit with. What were you looking for when you were, like, looking for a therapist?
Then? Yeah, that's a good question. I base it off of their pictures, which is...
I think maybe it's good if we address this. Like, how did you find a therapist for you?
Yeah, totally.
And that sounds bad, like, you base it off the pictures, but, like, I did the same exact thing, and I picked a young therapist because I didn't want to feel, like, intimidated.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to feel like I was talking to someone who looks like they could be my friend.
Yeah.
So, and, like, for this to be, like, I did kind of see a therapist. I saw a therapist, like, a couple of times in college. Like, I didn't feel like I could really, like, open up to her because it just felt like I was talking to, like, one of my mom's friends or something. Mm. She was great. It just, like, I could not get comfortable.
Yeah.
And I also was ashamed to be there.
It's a personal battle getting used to the idea of taking your own mental health into your own hands. And I struggled with that a lot when I, like, this new therapist, she's not new anymore. It's been 3 years now. But, like, my most recent therapist, like, everybody was telling me to go to therapy. Like, I was so depressed. Like, my mom was like, please go to a therapist. I am worried. And, like, all my friends were like, maybe go back to therapy. And I'm like, nope. Nope. Mm-mm. And then it got to the point, my best friend Katie was like, all she had to say, she was like, you don't need to be feeling like this. I was like, you're right, I don't. And, like, for whatever reason, that, like, triggered it for me. I was like, no, you're right. Like, I don't need to be feeling like this. Like, I have the opportunity and the privilege to go and talk to somebody. And so, Katie works in mental health care. And so I sent her all of the therapists in my network for my insurance, and she gave me a top three. And number one was who my therapist is now. And I was lucky that I didn't have to build rapport with a bunch of different therapists. Like, it just stuck for me. And how I decided that she was the right one for me was on her picture. And opposite from you, like, I didn't want to talk to somebody that was my age or close to my age. Like, I wanted to talk to somebody that, like, I think that I struggle with, and I always have, because I was bullied for so long in middle school, like, sixth grade through ninth grade, basically, that, like, I always struggle with feeling judged by people my age still today, even though I'm much more confident than I was back then. I still have these, like, little, like, things. So I was like...
We all have little things.
Yeah, right, as we've been saying. But I was like, I want to talk to, like, an adult.
Yeah.
And so, even though I'm an adult, but I still don't consider myself an adult.
I mean, I do think that's really interesting because, like, you have such a close and, like, important and reliable relationship with your parents.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That you can always go to them. So, it's so interesting to see how, like, these kind of, like, little, like, micro ideas in our heads of, like, I know I'll feel more comfortable talking to someone who is maybe around my parents' age because I would always go to my parents when I, like, when I was bullied or something like that. Yes. And then for me, it's, like, I keep so much of my life away from my parents.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm so an open book with, you know, anyone I'm friends with.
Yes. Yeah.
As we can
clearly
tell.
Yeah.
So then, like, me seeking out someone who I'm like, maybe, like, I want to talk to someone who looks like would be one of my friends.
Yes. Yeah. It's so interesting to see, like, the difference. And therapists know that. Like, how they position their, what they look like in their pictures, there's a science to it. Like, I have some friends that are studying.
I like
to
that
be,
you and I were conscious of these decisions too.
I know, of course we were.
I knew. I was like, you know what? I don't want to talk to someone who I feel like will intimidate me. So I'm going to pick someone who, like, looks like really approachable and like someone who is, I'm friends with.
And this has all had to shift over time. Like, now there are classes in PhD programs where you learn about your online presence, like making sure SEO is right. Because if, like, you are, like, show up as, like, you were a stripper in the past, like, more power to you, but, like, people might see that and be like, I don't want to go to her, you know, because people have, like, these ideas. There are automatic responses to certain things that people see online, and that can make or break when people decide to go to you. And so, like, they have to work. My therapist, you cannot, her social media presence is so buttoned up. Like,
oh, so is mine.
Her Facebook has a picture of her family and her headshot, and that's all that's public. And, like, that's probably, when I saw the picture of her family, I'm like, ooh, I'm getting a window into her life.
Yeah, even that is, like, pretty ballsy.
And that was 100% by design for her. And she has pictures of her kids that are, like, facing out in her, on her desk, so, like, people can see them. And, like, me being, like, over analytical of everything, I'm like, this was all planned out. Everything in here, she probably looks at, like, how we choose, like, where to sit on the couches, or, like, our energy when we come in, like. So when I see stuff like online presence, I'm like, they pay such close attention to everything going on here. But I've always gone to adult therapists. Like,
Amelia's, you're using air quotes.
I'm always
adult.
Using air quotes. Usually when I slow down my words, it's because I have air quotes. Air quotes. But yeah, no, I...
Finding a therapist is so... There's so much that goes into it.
There's so much
that
goes into
it. So, I mean,
it.
Yeah, obviously basing it off of...
Looks is not
is,
the only way to do it.
Isn't ideal, but also, like, I think that what each person needs is so vastly different. Like, my therapist is really rigid, but I like that. Like, I am not trying to get her approval on anything.
Yeah.
So I like that she's totally at an arm's length for me. Like, I don't need her approval. Like, and she's also super, like, logical and analytical. So, like, I came to her from a very, like, emotional and reactive place. Like, my emotions dictated and controlled everything I did. Mm-hmm. There was no, like, I'm going to sit with my feelings and think about them. It was just, like, this is what I'm feeling, so I'm going to act on this feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, there was no thought to it. And she does, like, a lot of CBT. So
I love CBT so much.
It's, what is it? Cognitive behavioral therapy.
Yep.
So, I don't really know how to describe CBT.
CBT, I'll take the wheel on this. Oh, I also want to use this opportunity to talk about Wobot. There is this app called Wobot, W-O-E-B-O-T. And I'm not exaggerating when I say that this thing actually saved my life one night. Like, I was having the absolute... I've never had a panic attack where I felt like I needed to get out of my skin. Like, I've never experienced that before. And I called a self-harm helpline that night because I was worried that I was going to hurt myself. And they suggested Wobot. That was one of their suggestions. And what Wobot does is they use CBT, which helps you, in the simplest of terms, and I recommend Googling this. Like, it's...
Googling CBT?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Wobot. But CBT specifically, because there's so many facets to it and it's remarkable. But in the most simplest of terms, CBT helps you remove all of the, like, extreme thinking of thoughts and helps you rewrite them in logical ways of what's actually happening. So, for example, like, this person isn't talking to me because they hate me and they wish that I would die. Mm-hmm. And what Wobot helps you do and what it uses CBT to do is helps you untangle that and look at it as, like, this person isn't talking to me because they're busy. They'll get back to me later. Like, it helps you, like, kind of put it through a funnel and just, like, take out all the stuff that you actually can use to be more productive in your thinking. There's, like, black and white thinking, like, catastrophic thinking. There's a bunch of different things that go into this. And yeah. Wobot teaches you all of those ways that anxiety and depression make you think about things too extreme. And it puts labels on it. And there is something so freeing about getting Wobot and putting labels on what I was experiencing. I'm like, I'm using end of the world thinking right now. Like, there's actually a word for what I'm doing and other people do this. And so this thought that I'm having is not actually as bad as it feels like it is.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And my therapist does not use CBT. She doesn't practice it. So it was new to me, but your therapist uses it. So
oh, yeah.
does she like ask you questions so you can get there?
Oh my God. Yeah. My therapist, I always think of it as like, you know, she is like, I'm a mouse and she's trying to like make me find the cheese. Like, she's not like helping me. She's just asking me the questions to make me get to the answer myself. Mm-hmm. And, it was pretty hard at first. Well, and sometimes I would just be staring at her and I'd just be like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Yeah. And then she would, you know, she would kind of like smile because she was like, okay, like, this is what you're going through. Like, this is where this is stemming from. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It blows my mind. But yeah, once, like, the hardest thing for me to accept was just like my childhood trauma. Cause like, I love my parents so much and I think that they're like amazing people.
Yeah.
So it's always hard to like accept, like, oh, yep, our parents all traumatize us a little bit. Obviously, it's not on purpose. Like,
being a parent is the hardest job in the world.
Absolutely. When, like I said, being a good parent is even harder.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'd say for them, like, they're pretty good parents. Mm-hmm. And I, like, you're never going to be a perfect parent, no matter what you do. So
real.
And that's, like, no one's going to be a perfect anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, so accepting that, like, mm-hmm. Oh, this is childhood trauma.
Right? Yeah.
Is always really hard.
It's so hard, but it is so...
Yeah, once you are aware...
Liberating.
Yes.
It's remarkable. That, I think, is like... I mean, I could go on and on about therapy and honestly trying to walk through my, what now, 19, 18 years of therapy experience. 19. It would take 70 episodes, and this is not the last time we're going to talk about it.
No, we're always going to. Therapy is always going to come up in our conversations. It's always,
like, the underlying thing. Yeah. I
didn't realize that we, like, casually, like, sprinkle in, like,
in every episode.
Blah, 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 therapy. Yeah. With my therapist. And then keep going. But I guess I didn't really think about, like, some of our listeners, like, might be more interested in, like, hearing a little bit more about therapy.
And our own experiences with therapy and how you experience therapy is going to differ from person to person. So, like, just a little disclaimer. This is just our experience with therapy.
Exactly.
But I will say, like, when I first started going to therapy, like I said, it was for the phobias and my severe anxiety as a child. But then what it's turned into now, and like when I went 3 years ago for the first time again with this therapist that I have now, it was for a different purpose than what I go for now. Like, mm-hmm. back then it was like to try to work through like all of this like adulthood stuff that I was going through of just like, who am I? Like, what do I want out of life? Why am I treating certain people in my life this way? Or why am I making the decisions that I'm making? And then I went through a breakup, and like having her understand so much about myself that I don't know because she's been looking at me through a professional lens mm-hmm. was like a vehicle for my healing. And I'm still healing, and healing is always, it's a process. It's a yeah. very long process. But like having her be like, listen, like you make decisions based on all of this shit that we've talked about in the past, and having somebody to be able to like help. The best visualization of therapy that I saw was like somebody, it was like the outline of a head, and it was like yarn, all like,
oh yarn,
just like all like bundled up. It was like all knotted up, and then like somebody was just like pulling it out, and it was coming out untangled. And yes. that's what it is. It's like they're not
exactly what it is.
They're not making you feel anything that you aren't capable of doing it yourself. Like they're just
revealing it.
They're revealing it, and they're untangling it. And mm-hmm. like I feel like I'm never going to feel satisfied with how I talk about therapy because I fucking love therapy so much.
Yeah, it's so hard to put into words, like, what it does for you. And it does something different for every person.
It's okay.
All right, I'll just ask you.
Okay.
So, how do you prepare for a therapy appointment?
It's changed over the years, because for a while I thought that the thing to do was like go to therapy and talk about exactly how you're feeling in the moment. But then I realized that like I would be having a really hard time on Sunday, and I'd be like, thank God I have therapy on Tuesday. And then like I would like feel better by Tuesday, which was just me suppressing how I was feeling. And so I would go and I'd be like, yeah, I was really sad on Sunday, but like, I don't know, I'm like fine now. And then I wouldn't ever work through anything. So now I've started, like, making notes of, like, exactly how I'm feeling in the moment, which for a while I was wary of doing because it was like, if I'm feeling better, I don't want to, like, have to, like, go back to this note in my phone. Like, I would realize, like, if I had, like, long, difficult text messages typed out in my notes section, if I would open up my notes section and see that note from, like, a week ago, it would trigger me into feeling sad again. So I was like, I don't want the notes of what I feel like I need to talk about in therapy to be on my phone. But that's important to pay attention to, because then it's like, why is it so triggering to see these things in my phone? Mm-hmm. Clearly, I have to work through it. Yeah. So I started making notes of things that I needed to talk about in therapy. And if I brought it up and I was like, but this doesn't really bug me anymore, she would like still make mental notes. Nothing gets by my therapist. I had to get past that, because I was like, she's going to remember everything that I tell her. So like she would bring things up that I had said in passing like 2 years ago, and I'm like, holy shit, you're really listening. So whenever I bring up like, I was sad about this, but like, I think I'm okay now, she would like internalize that. And then like, if I would bring up something related, she'd be like, yeah, you said that 3 weeks ago, like clearly we need to talk about it, so let's talk about it. So in that sense, even writing it down, even if I feel like I'm not going to need to talk about it in the moment. But yeah, no, I think just like being able to write down how you're feeling in the moment, it's like journaling. It's like being able to look back on your journal entries and seeing what progress you've made.
Absolutely.
It's just good to write down how you're feeling.
When I first started going to therapy, I was journaling constantly. Hmm. And I think journaling is a huge part of like healing and learning and changing, mm-hmm. because like if I was feeling any kind of way, like if I had a good day or a bad day or whatever, I would journal about it. Because also I understood like the transitions that were happening in my life, even just with like moving to a new city and not knowing anyone and like starting this new job, I was going through a ton of life changes, and I wanted to document it and mm-hmm. remember it. And then when I started going to therapy, I would write about whatever like I was trying to process that I had like taken away from that that meeting that we had. And then like months later, I could go back and reflect on like, this is what I was thinking and feeling when I was processing this. And like the way you process things over time changes. Mm-hmm. And and like reading how I was feeling or thinking at that time and being able to like put some logic to it like down the line was just really satisfying. Just yes. You can really recognize your own growth.
Absolutely.
And it feels amazing. Mm-hmm. So like if you recognize, like, once you are at your therapy appointment and you don't know what to talk about, like, during the week, whatever feelings come up for you, like, making notes of them can be super beneficial.
Yeah.
Now I don't make notes of things. Like, I can be like, oh, I had a big moment this week that I want to reflect on with my therapist. Mm-hmm. So sometimes there's that. And I don't get something out of my appointment every single time, yeah. But, like, this week I was not expecting to, like, really be so emotional, and I feel like those are always the weeks that sneak up on me. It's just, like, you're like, I'm fine, I had a great week.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you're crying.
Yeah, your brain's like, psych!
Yeah, your brain, it's, all it takes is, like, the right question, and then you have, like, a total meltdown.
Oh my god, yes.
Yeah, so like
I've had a lot of experiences in therapy where I feel like I leave and it's not productive, and like I think that's something that people have to push past in yeah. therapy, because like people will do that and they'll be like, it's not good for me, and it's like no, like it probably is, and it just wasn't a productive session. Like there's nothing yeah. wrong with that, but it is those days when you're least expecting it.
Yeah,
some days I'll go in and be like, I'm okay this week, and I'll end up sobbing the entire time.
Yeah,
and
that's always, how I felt this week.
It's always when the best work is done for me, at least. Yeah, I don't know.
Even when Amelia first came over, I started crying again talking about my therapy. I welled up a few times while recording.
Drudging up emotions is tough.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard because, like we were saying, like it's nobody likes to feel.
Yeah, no one wants emotions, to be sad.
But it's really interesting because, like, people will make, and we've said this last week, people will make jokes about, like, how similar Liz and I are. We're, like, morphing into each other. But just, like, this is a perfect example of, like, everybody's therapy experiences are different from everybody else's. Yeah. And, like, you and I have had entirely different experiences in therapy. And they've both been positive, but, like, they're so different. And yeah. So, like, I don't know. It's, I think a lot of people that haven't had an opportunity to be exposed to therapy or have been afraid to go have this idea in their mind of what it is, and it's wrong. I'm just going to tell you now, you're wrong about yeah. what you think it's going to be, because, like, everybody is. There's no way to know how you're going to react in therapy. There are so many people that I wish would go to therapy, because it's just, like, I want everyone to go to therapy. I think that it yeah. is such an amazing thing, even if you feel healthy.
Yeah, if you think you're okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Everybody sure, has something to I'm work sure through. You are okay.
Right. I'm sure glad you're, that you're okay. Yeah. I feel okay a lot of the time.
But I'm sure you also have some shit that you want to work through.
And even if you've, in a perfect world, you don't. Yeah. Like, let's say you don't have anything to work
I refuse
through.
To believe that's possible.
But I say that to say, like, even if you feel like everything in your life is perfect and you've never had any trials or tribulations, just going to the opposite end of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
You could still benefit from therapy in just working through everyday stuff. Like, mm-hmm. stuff that everybody goes through. Like, I hate my job. I feel like I'm stuck in this rut. Things that people think of as, like, quote, surface level shit, like, isn't. And, like, that's a lot of what therapy can do for people that maybe don't have things, like, deep-rooted stuff that they have to work yeah. through. It could be, there's a benefit for everybody. I fucking love therapy.
Me like, too.
It has been so good for so many people in my life that I'm just like, it is tried and true, and I will not stop.
Isn't it insane to see like your transformation in therapy and how it affects like different relationships in your life?
Oh yeah.
Like
a lot of what I'm feeling personally is like when I put it out into the open, it's like I am the master of this. My brain isn't. Even yeah. though I am my brain, it's like I am going to actively work through this. I'm not going to let it fester in my head. And so I realized when people come to me about things, like they just need to get it out and be yeah. like, I'm feeling this way. And like, I just need somebody to know. I'm like, you are allowed to feel that way. Like now what? And it kind of like, then they can put it back into their brain and be like, okay, it's out there. And like, I'm taking control over it. And so like, in that sense, I think people do gravitate toward me to talk about things. Yeah.
The problem I've noticed, like if a friend or someone does that with me, I'm worried that, you know, I'm not capable of being another person's therapist, you know? like, even though I'm able to understand and process emotions and, like, apply logic to them, mm-hmm. like, I am not trained to be a therapist.
Right, your friends
nor
are...
Nor do I want to be.
You can't...
But my worry is just, like, they think that, like, telling me is enough.
Yeah, that's such an important distinction. You can talk to your... It's so important to have people you can talk to about things.
Yeah, have friends that you can rely on to understand you.
It is not a replacement for therapy.
Yeah, it's not going to fix whatever you're going through. Just telling someone... And this is something that, like, one of our friends brings up all the time. If you talk about something, it gives you the validation as if you've already done it.
Mm-hmm. And that is not the case.
No. If you're like, yeah, I'm going to work out later, it gives you the validation of, like, that you've already worked out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, if you change your mind, you're like, never mind. Like,
it's like, well, I
you still walked away with the validation of, like, yeah, I was planning on working out later.
Yeah.
I told everyone I was going to work out later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that being able to talk to your friends is such a nice first step before therapy, because it's mm-hmm. like, okay, I'm recognizing, I'm putting this out there, and I'm recognizing how much better it feels to get it out and be able to talk about it with someone, but, like, a lot of
your friends
things,
are not...
They're not
therapists. Even if your friend is a therapist, like, they're not going to be able to be your therapist.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's so important to be able to have
you need to have the separation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a professional is going to help you the way that you're hoping your friends will.
Yep. Yeah.
And absolutely. I feel like my friendships have become better because I'm in therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not turning to them to, like, fix and validate whatever I'm going through.
Yes.
So I can have these beautiful, amazing friendships apart from, like, my internal journey with mm-hmm. therapy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to, we're circling back to the question of just, like, how do you prepare for it? And it really is just, like, you can try and prepare for it, you know, make notes throughout the week of, like, what you're feeling mm-hmm. and maybe even make it, like, a full journal entry if it's something that's really weighing on you, because the reflection is also incredibly rewarding.
Oh my God, yes.
Down the line. But just making notes of, like, what triggered you into feeling whatever feeling, like, if it's anger or sadness or grief or even something that you're like, oh my God, I'm so happy about this because, like, this person validated how I was feeling or something like that.
Yeah.
I think that's a good way to prepare. But then also it's like sometimes when you're not prepared is when, like, you get the most out of a meeting.
Yeah.
Or an appointment. Because I've had a handful of experiences, like, quite a few where I've gone in where I'm just like, yeah, I had a great week. Because you can have a great week, but, like, that's not going to change your childhood trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So just, like, you know, kind of talking about whatever happened in your week or something will start to bring things up. But then also, I think that is a huge reflection of your therapist. Is, like,
totally.
If they're going to be like, so,
mm-hmm.
you said this thing? Let's unravel
it. Yeah, absolutely. A good therapist will be able to point things out like that. But also, like, test drive ways that you can prepare. Like, maybe mm-hmm. take notes once, and then the next time maybe you don't, and you see what works best for you.
Yeah, totally, like, experiment.
Yeah.
And then also don't go in with the expectation that you're going to get something from it every single time.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, like I said, like, earlier today when my boyfriend was dropping me off, I was like, maybe I'll switch to every other week because I don't feel like I'm, like, getting as much out of it. And then, like, I had my appointment, like, 10 minutes later. And
just
I started crying about 5 minutes in.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you really never know. Like, I think, yeah, maybe not having any expectations is... not having expectations, it can be beneficial.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Of just, like, in general.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's a good, like, life
A life lesson is no expectations.
No expectations.
We're all going to die.
The best expectations.
That was too sad.
Oh my God, yeah. We're all just floating on a rock.
Honestly, reminding myself that everybody dies is, like, a little validating.
Oh my God, not for me. I hate thinking about that.
The idea of it is
terrifying,
but then also, like, a little relieving.
Absolutely.
Because you're like, well... This happens to everybody.
Existence is fleeting.
Yeah.
I don't have that experience.
Death is just the fifth dimension.
This is now a staple in all
this
of our...
This is a Fifth Dimension podcast, yep, exclusively.
We are rebranding. But anyway, yeah, I mean, like, we could talk about this for forever. We should wrap it up. But, like, this won't be the last time we talk about therapy.
No.
Do you want to talk about what we're celebrating?
Yeah, our celebration.
Do you know what you're celebrating this week?
I actually do. And it's, like, kind of, like, corny, but, like...
Oh.
So, the other night, like, I like to make dinner for my boyfriend. But also, yeah, I cook for myself so often, but it's just somehow, like, even more satisfying, like, cooking for another person.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I would say probably every week I've, like, made something for us.
Aww.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just fun. Yeah, I like making him something.
It
yeah.
is love. It really is.
So I made... This is so, like, ironic. I made us Crunchwrap Supremes, and they're really fucking... They're easy to make, and they're delicious.
It sounds so fucking
But, like, good. Also, like, so right before he started heading over, he was like, we should go get Taco Bell this weekend. Because, so anyone who knows me knows, like, I love Taco Bell. I love it so much. We went there for my birthday party last year. We took a party bus to Taco Bell.
It was the best.
I'm not even joking.
And everybody was so drunk by the time we got
there. Yeah, by the time we got to Taco Bell, we're all hammered. And, like, we're like, yes, Taco!
That was my first time eating Taco Bell.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. I feel so blessed.
Yeah, you took my Taco Bell virginity.
Yeah. That's the best news I've ever received. But, yeah, so anyways, like, he knew I love Taco Bell. So he was like, we should get Taco Bell this weekend. Also, Taco Bell's removing, like, a ton of my favorite shit from their menu. Anyways. So, like, he texted that, and I was like, hey, he has no idea I'm making his Crunchwrap Supremes. And I was like, don't look at my kitchen. Like, it has to be a surprise. And then I, like, finished, like, making his Crunchwrap, and I brought it out on a plate, and he was like, oh, is that a Crunchwrap?
That's so sweet.
He was fucking stoked, and I was like, you didn't even know, like, when you texted me that I was making his Crunchwraps.
That's so cute. I love
that. It was really awesome.
So you're celebrating cooking for your boyfriend.
Yeah, but also in general, like, making a Crunchwrap at home, guys, they're so easy to make.
Can you send me the
recipe? They're so good. You can kind of put whatever you want in them.
Oh.
Like, I can tell you, like, how I layered things.
Yeah.
But you can kind of, like, just put whatever in them. And I think the key ingredient is queso.
Mm.
And taco sauce.
I'm so hungry.
Yeah.
I'll
probably make one when you leave because I still have a bunch of the ingredients.
Hell yeah, do it.
Yeah.
I love that.
So that's going to be my celebration for the week is, like, making Crunchwrap Supremes and also, like, how stoked my boyfriend was.
Yes, I love that. Great. It's a great thing to celebrate. This week I am celebrating being super close to an election. I've been thinking so much about it.
Did you hear that the guy who's, like, predicted every election?
He said Biden's gonna win.
Yeah.
I know. Didn't he predict Trump was gonna win in 2016? Wild. Nobody thought except for that man.
I wasn't surprised when Trump won.
Oh, God, I was.
I wasn't. I was like,
I just, like, I don't want to get too political on this podcast, but, like, the state of America right now is... You can't look at what's going on and be like, I would be good for another 4 years ago. Like, you can't.
It's insane.
It's so bad. And, like, I understand a lot of liberals are having a hard time with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Like, I get it.
Oh.
I get it. Absolutely.
I feel like we're just, like, trapped with, like, these fucking old people who are so wildly
out of touch
with, like, what the world needs.
Yeah.
They're just, like, on these platforms, like... This is what we stand for.
Fucking Donald Trump. I don't want to get too political. But anyway, what I'm celebrating is there potentially being a light at the end of this awful, awful tunnel that we're in, especially with coronavirus. And
part of me is just terrified that if Trump is in office for another 4 years, we're just going to have to deal with coronavirus for another four years.
We're going to have to deal with, so it's going to get worse.
Have you seen the picture of, like, a skeleton looking out a window?
Yeah.
I feel like that is America looking at the rest of the world,
yes.
Like, out and about.
Yeah.
Like, one of our friends lives abroad right now and she's, like, out doing shit and no one's wearing a mask.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, my instinct is just like, how come no one's wearing a mask? And then I'm like, oh, because they don't fucking have to.
Yes.
And that is...
It's painful.
It's so painful.
I'm just like, I don't understand. But anyway, I said I didn't want to get too political and I'm getting heated now. But
it's okay. I have the power of editing.
Yes, you do. That's true.
Yeah, we're approaching an election.
I'm so excited about it. Like, if for anything, like...
I like that you're excited about it.
Are you nervous about it?
Yeah.
I'm nervous about it too, Arif. Oh my God, are you kidding? I'm like, if we get 4 more years of this man, the world is going to burn. But, like, there being a potential end in sight to this madness is what I'm celebrating this week.
Mm-hmm. Whenever I get incredibly overwhelmed about, like, just the state of America and our government, I do think of the positives that have come out of everything, of just, like, becoming more aware. I think everybody becoming more aware and, like...
More involved.
Yes, yes. More involved. And then just people coming together for all of these necessary changes that have needed to happen.
So true. The unity that's happened from this awful administration has been pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Well... thanks for listening. As always, please tweet us and message us on Instagram at @theholyhour.
We love hearing from you guys.
It's the best thing. We always send screenshots to each other.
We really do.
We're always like, oh my God. Like, it's just the best thing in the world. So please keep messaging us and then email us.
Also, if there's something that you want us to discuss.
Yeah.
Like, my friend DMing us literally like 15 minutes before we were recording.
The discussion today was because of this message Liz got as I was on the way here.
Yeah.
So please, like, we love talking about what you want to hear about. Also email us at holyhourpodcast@gmail.com. And yeah, that's it.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Love you.
Our children. We need someone to come up with a tune for us. We love you, our children.
It's a beautiful song, honestly. It inspires me.
It's a different it's a different tune every time.
It is. It morphs.
You get a one-of-a-kind experience every time you listen to this podcast.
It's a mood closing. So it depends on the mood that we're in. It changes colors.